Welcome to Supercomputer, a show about making sense out of a mess of technology. My name is Matthew Casanelli, and I'm here to teach automation to everyone.
And I'm Alex Cox, and I'm going to do a magic trick for Matthew right now.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Some people might know that we're doing a video show along with the traditional RSS, as usual, podcast. And I don't want people to... I freaked out. And I don't want people to freak out and think that we're doing an only video show and that you won't get the same thing if you are not watching the video. Except if there are just certain things that need to happen over camera. And Matthew has created a wonderful shortcut that will take the it'll take the timestamp from Overcast into YouTube and vice versa.
Yeah.
There's a big caveat. We don't have enough YouTube subscribers to have a unique link. So even if you're never going to watch the YouTube video, just subscribe because, you know, hit that bell. I literally don't know what it's called anymore.
Yeah. I have a shortcut that takes the Overcast timestamp link that you can activate with the Siri shortcut. And then it takes that link and splits it up and gets just the timestamp at the end and then converts it into seconds, which is how YouTube can like take you into a video. So basically you'll be able to run the shortcut and at any moment jump into the same moment of the live stream too, which is pretty awesome. But it doesn't work because you have to have 100 subscribers to get like a custom URL, which is like...
We should just create a shortcut that creates bots to subscribe.
But then once it does work, the shortcut will basically like let you jump into the live stream at any moment, or the live, not live, but yes, the video stream.
Yeah, and the reason we are going to do video is just because some people watch it on YouTube and. I don't know. We're not going to be sold to Gimlet or Spotify. I don't know what's even happening. Oh, man. What are we talking about today, Matthew Casanelli?
Today, I want to know about how you work, Alex, because you tend to ask me a lot of questions, so and then I answer and then interrupt you giving good responses to my answers. And so this is an opportunity, a change for me also, but I do just want to know how you work too, because I feed off of hearing how other people are doing their stuff, and that gives me so many ideas. So I want to, plus the people want to know.
That's not true. I mean, I guess this is going to be not quite productivity porn, because I don't know if you'd call me productive. I do a lot of stuff, but there's...
Isn't that...
I don't
What's
know.
What's the definition of productivity besides that?
Doing a lot of stuff with the intention of doing... That's my definition anyway of productivity, is getting stuff done that... copyright David Allen Co. But getting stuff done that you intend to. So not... just, you know, checking off an arbitrary to-do list, like, yes, I cleaned the dishes, and then the sink, and then the shower, and laundry. But, you know, being like, all right, I finished invoicing this client. I paid invoices. I don't know. All I can think of is cleaning and money tasks today. Thanks, DayQuil. but if folks don't know, I work for my jobby job is working for Cards Against Humanity, which is a card company in Chicago. We make a silly game, and it's called Party Game for Horrible People. And my position here is senior AV producer. So I babysit our microphones and our cameras. Like my whole it's funny to call me like a manager or senior when I'm again like babysitting equipment. But it's more that I work throughout the company to make sure also all the computers are working, everybody is communicating well, and I also help produce like the videos we make and stuff like that. And I use a bunch of nerdy stuff to make that happen. And primarily, I just want to get, I mean, straight off the bat, OmniFocus is indeed like the dashboard of my life. It is, if OmniFocus went away today, I truly would have to spend like 3 days rebuilding my entire workflow, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you still tied to things? Like, what would happen if things went away for you?
This episode's about you, not all my mistakes.
well, I mean, I'm rambling on Dayquil. What are you curious about so far?
I mean, I think I'd like to know maybe like what a general day or week or time period is like for you and how you approach that.
That's
like,
a good question.
There's like the very minute details of like what app do you open first thing when you get to work versus like, do you guys work in a yearly cycle or something like that? Or, I mean, and also I understand also no company secrets because that's where,
you know, all those trade secrets about the plastic coating we put on the cards. It's very, exactly. You know, that proprietary information. This is some hot tip I can share. The cards are completely organic in that, I mean, not the ink, but like it has a water coating. So if you eat them, you probably won't die. I've eaten a lot of them and I haven't, I'm still here. So, you know, there's, you heard it here first.
That might be the first time on the show that you've mentioned how you eat random things.
Okay. And before people say, I don't have pica, I promise I eat random things for various magic tricks and because people pay me to do them. Entertainment purposes. And also, I have genuinely eaten things by mistake. Thinking the most infamous, I guess, is when my friend sent me some stickers of like cupcake toppings, and I thought they were just edible stickers. They were just stickers. And since I am a super taster, I thought I must be doing something wrong if I can't taste them. So I just kept eating them. That one gave me a bit of a tummy ache. But anyway, I definitely start my day. I mean, this is a cliche, but my day starts the night before, around 5 p.m., prepping everything that's going to happen for the next day. And I try not to work on Sundays, but sometimes it happens, like doing an outline for the entire week. And that happens in OmniFocus. I don't typically, like, I've got all the tasks, but I try not to put due dates on things unless it is super critical. Like, I will get fired or someone will die if this doesn't happen. When I fall out of that practice, I will flag things, which literally puts a badge on my Mac, on my iPad, on my phone. Everything is a terrifying red badge. Not of courage, but of fear and anxiety. And that's really like, okay, time to get real right now. Sorry, go ahead.
I want you to keep going, but I do want to ask questions about what you were doing. Just in general, do you do the no due dates for non-essential things so that it doesn't get muddied up with like what you actually have to get done?
Yes. And this changed this year, or rather last year, with the addition of tags to OmniFocus. So there's a tag that I have that's just today. And that's essentially meaning it can happen anytime. It's one of the things where I can open it and it's like, here's all the things you can do today, with the caveat that it's also in a custom perspective. I have various perspectives, like today at the office, or today, or I should say that it's, all right, stepping back. This is, I realize as I'm saying this, I'm like, why do people think OmniFocus is complicated? Oh, right. Because
I was, yeah.
There's a lot of words.
You have to have the pro version even just to get that.
Yeah. But so now OmniFocus, you can have a bunch of tags, which is what I do. It's a minimum of two tags, which is the place I can do it, or what I need to do it, and the energy level I anticipate it will take. So I have perspectives of like, if something is tagged with today and low energy, that's kind of the stuff I will usually do around like 5 p.m. when I'm exhausted and I feel like I need to get stuff done. I will also tag things with medium energy and high energy. And I try to get all of the high energy stuff done in the morning. And also, high energy typically has a due date because if it has a high energy, it's a priority and it needs to happen. Yeah.
That makes sense. But then you can filter out the low energy ones that you don't need to do yet. Mm-hmm. So it's not blocking it. Okay, so I want to ask about that. Mm-hmm. First of all, the today tag thing being a custom perspective is interesting because that's like the anytime view in things is what I started living in, because that does give me a full access to all that stuff.
Yep.
The energy one is something that I had picked up that totally changed like how I approach the work, but I interestingly labeled it the exact opposite way that you did, where low energy tasks are things that I can do when I'm low energy versus, I mean, I guess maybe it's similar, but maybe the order that we do it is different, because like when I'm low energy, that means I don't want to be doing anything and I only want to do like the simple things that I can like get done without losing more energy, versus like when I have high energy for me to build it up. I don't know. I guess maybe I just am approaching it at a different time of day.
And I think I sort of explained that poorly in that, like, yeah, it's the things I'm doing like when I have low energy, if that makes sense. Yeah. And
yeah. No, okay.
It also depends on the time of day. Like if I got a terrible, just tiny amount of sleep, sometimes in the morning I will do a bunch of low energy things just to almost psych my brain up. Because I'm told I'm a knowledge worker. Bleh. What a terrible, terrible name. But I really like only seeing at the very most five things on my to-do list. And that doesn't mean there's only five things I need to do that day, but it's like, okay, these are the five things I need to do or should be doing right now. But usually that's only two or three.
That mentality sounds very stressful, because it should be one thing you need to do right now and then something after that, versus like five things simultaneously.
Oh no,
I get what you mean. Just like when you see it, you don't want to like, but the mindset of how you approach it, I think, is what's so like fascinating, because me changing my mindset totally changed how I approach the tool, and that made a huge difference. But yeah, that's, you also have a lot on your plate, so.
Yeah, should we talk about that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And I'm also, I am interested in the non-urgent parts, because then that's, because naturally urgency always tends to take priority, but, and the system helps you decide. So
yeah, the nice thing about OmniFocus and the medium energy tasks, which that's the majority of what I do, it allows for a lot of like improvisation during my day, because that just is the nature of my job is very, very hectic in a way that I very, very much enjoy. But it's not like I can do the Cal Newport thing of deep work where I'm just sitting and it's like focus, focus, hyper, whatever. There are days where I can do that, but that's usually not most days. And the the reason I always have those like three tasks up at the same time is because I do tend to be juggling those three things. I also don't believe in multitasking. That I share Merlin Mann's mentality of just switching tasks very quickly, which I hope I'm sort of good at. and the other very, very essential tag I use is names of people, because I don't have I'm not like full time managing a team, but I'm often managing a small group of people for a certain amount of time. So we don't usually have shared to-do lists. We have a shared like checklist. And the reason for this is it's usually on-site things for like a live show or a video shoot or a recording of a podcast. And that is just a checklist of, okay, this thing needs to happen, like, and the end result is press the record button. But then there are follow-up questions. I think Mike Curley calls this aftercare, which I think is adorable because it's like a BDSM word for for work. And all of those tasks are tagged with the people I need the action from, or if they're waiting on something for me. So in OmniFocus, everything should be a verb. And so I'll be like, send file to Bob, or bother Max for his side of the audio track. Just thinking about podcast things. And that is really helpful when I'm doing reviews, which is another OmniFocus specific thing. And in that you're supposed to look at all of your tasks across the board at least once a week. And I'm pretty good at doing that, so I don't end up having like 800 tasks in my to-do manager at once. That's bonkers.
Mm-hmm. So did you all like collectively decide on what that checklist should be and like improve it over time and things like that?
Yeah, it's kind of the mentality of the travel checklist. Like once you've forgotten something, you add it on, and then that never, hopefully, never goes wrong again.
So literally, though, is it in like Google Drive or?
Sometimes in like it'll live in Google Docs, but a lot of times it's literally printed out and either laminated or it's just a sheet of paper. And people are literally checking it off. Or in my own production type stuff, I'll have it just in an app on my iPad and make people poke it. Like, yep, this has been done.
That makes sense.
But
I got that laminator and never used it, which is because I need. Well, that leads back to like, I don't have any of these checklists, or I have. Mm-hmm. I've been building them, and I have a couple, but that's definitely like the hardest part, especially is like, first of all, recognizing that you have to make a checklist, because that goes so far. Like so many things in my life lately have been like, oh yeah, I just wrote it down and that made all of the difference. It's very silly, but
yeah,
trying to establish. Last week I messed up your side of the audio because I didn't have, we did something brand new with video and how you export it and import it. Mm-hmm. And having a checklist for that is absolutely something I need right now, because it's hard when you have, I'm no longer editing just a podcast. And so it's like creating that collective checklist of, I need to print it out and get my whole marker thing too, because that sounds great.
Oh, I love those markers.
Okay. So you have the checklist, and I mean, you mentioned podcasts, videos, and like shoots for something else bigger. Like, is that like weekly? Like, it does seem like you guys have even a auditorium or whatever.
Generous way of putting it. Yeah, we have what's called a black box theater. So a theater that can be turned into whatever you want it to be. And that I often collaborate with our artistic director for putting on live shows, streaming those live shows, or alternatively, we often do live shows at other venues. So that's, you know, those are all separate checklists.
Because when you have to take all your gear.
Yep. There's a gear checklist and I mean, it's essentially like a run of show in theater. You know what I mean? So that's kind of how we approach most things as like an event that needs to be produced, if that makes sense. And it generally works out. Yes, that's a day-to-day thing typically. But those checklists, for example, those are on site. But sometimes it's in OmniFocus. It's like, okay, gather the gear or tell Tom to gather the gear. And then when he has checked off the checklists, I know that this has happened and then I can mark it done in OmniFocus. But there are also recurring tasks in my OmniFocus that it would kind of be silly to have a checklist because only I'm responsible for them, like just certain daily like studio tune-ups and making sure that things aren't on fire.
So you don't bother checklisting that?
I mean, it's a template in OmniFocus that could be a checklist. Sometimes I will hand that off. If I'm going on vacation, I will create that checklist for another person, but it's just recurring tasks in OmniFocus they have a due date for every single day and they're low energy. And those are one of the few things that have a time due. It's like, okay, this should be done by 11 a.m. And if I don't complete them, I get a little bleep bloop. Make sure that this thing has been plugged in or something like that.
Okay. Just to go very specific, and I'm sorry if people don't have OmniFocus, but is this a project in a folder? And I know that there's also the task itself, and then you can have like the checklist part of it be nested underneath the single thing. Mm-hmm. Is that how you do it or what?
I have a project called, I can look, I have the technology. I've tried to get rid of as few, or get rid of as many folders as possible, but my three big project folders, like the three areas of my life, are Cards Against Humanity, podcasts, and personal. So in the Cards Against Humanity folder, there's events, some office, which is the name of our office, and then other projects I'm working on. But some office is, then I could have a nested checklist. Like I could have a task that's like complete morning routine and then a list of things that I need to complete underneath that, but it's a bit much and
yeah, that's why
it's super
curious.
Fiddly. I used to be that way, but then if you need to change something around quickly, it just gets sort of muddled and tags have taken the place of a lot. Tags and perspectives really have changed the way I think about folders and nested tasks and stuff like that.
Interesting, because that's, I think, to like bring it out to how people who don't necessarily use OmniFocus or something like that is, it can just get messy when you have too much of the system in the way. Like
right.
I specifically with OmniFocus, I have a lot, or just using it on iOS is like they have esoteric icons first of all, so I'm like, what does the three dots plus the arrow mean? And then it's just like. Or that can be a perfect example of where on the Mac it's way easier because you just drag and drop it and it nests itself. But on this, you have to like move it into an upper level folder and jump around kind of back and forth. And so like I personally found that to be too much to manage in OmniFocus because I don't use the Mac version that much. Mm-hmm. And so it was like I'm trying to like organize it all on my iPad and then it's just like RSI is like, sorry, I'm not going to do this 700 times. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I cannot because the main part is just like, do you end up creating, like with OmniFocus, I would end up creating like 150 tasks for the day, when it's really like I have five things to do mm-hmm. with checklists within each of them. And mm-hmm. it would just like the over, and or it didn't, I could never forecast because of that, because it would be like, just depending on the checklist, if it was slightly longer, made it seem like my day was that much busier, when really I just had tried to have a detailed checklist or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that balance can be hard.
You'll drive yourself real crazy real fast. If I mean, forecast, the forecast view is kind of like, would you call it, it's similar to the today view in things, kind of, sort of.
Yes.
Yeah.
The one cell in that, I would say, but it also shows you like the next week and things yeah. as upcoming.
Right, right.
So I think that's a nice, mm-hmm. like your perspective is the today view in things, where I just see, mm-hmm. and I started changing the way I use it too. It's only things that are, that actually have to happen, get assigned for today. And then I work out of the anytime field so that I actually do things that aren't just due today, because that's what I've totally found.
Yeah.
Or I try to like assign something that was due today that didn't really matter. Mm-hmm. And things is more forgiving than OmniFocus, where if it's assigned to today, it will move to the next day if you didn't finish it, versus like deadlines are kind of due dates.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, it can be philosophically like a little different, but even the same thing of like tags, actually, like your, the way you structure your projects should not be how you decide to do the tasks within those projects. And I think that's what's really confusing
is yeah.
tags enable you to assign different ways that you can look at a task and then group them by that, and then you're like, okay, I am low energy. Or it's like mm-hmm. I started doing like I have to be in my office in order to use my Mac, and so mm-hmm. any of those things I can't see. I think things doesn't have exclusion, where you're like, I don't want to see things even though I'm in this perspective. And so like mm-hmm. but it honestly, it's like, that's why OmniFocus is so confusing, because you can wrap your head around it and like make this beast into it, but it's not always immediately there.
Yeah. I typically don't suggest OmniFocus to folks who only have a couple projects like in their life. Like, I mean, and I also tell people to always start with the forecast view, because it's like, okay, here are the numbers for all of my weeks, but when, or the number of things I need to do for the next week or the next month. But then, like you said, as soon as you get into nested stuff and all of these tasks, it can look crazy, which is why I rarely use the forecast view, unless I'm like on vacation, and then it really is like, okay, this like one thing just happens to need to happen today. But at the same time, I really don't want to see like, hey, export this thing for supercomputer when I'm literally on site somewhere doing something that there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing I can do. So it's just like, I guess that is part of trying to be as hyper-focused as possible. It is like OmniFocus, while it isn't intuitive like for my hands, because I need to like poke things around, like you said, there are sometimes arbitrary icons and glyphs. It works with my brain UX, not my finger UX.
I think it makes sense though. And I think that the part of the problem that I've had in the last year was switching from not being a person who's creating things to doing that. And there wasn't as much, I mean, I was going to say like an employee versus not an employee, but that's not a great distinction. That's sort of meaningless at a certain level. And I do think like some of this level of system wasn't necessary for me before. And I think that's why it was always mm-hmm. so intense. Like, I do want to just start like keeping some checklists in notes and using that a little bit more versus some of the stuff that, or I have all these shortcuts ideas with that too, of course, but it is because I did muddy up the difference between task management and project planning and making checklists for what I'm doing. And it adopting a mentality outside of that is like, I've only ever been in the daily mindset, and that makes it really hard to do things like longer term planning. And so I'm curious some of that, like, obviously at a company, I think the hard part for an independent worker like me is I'm just doing it all myself versus you guys just have like, oh, like monthly meetings or team checkups and stuff like that, that probably push those things along. Or just, I mean, it's like a business that has to pay its employees. And so you have a constant motive to be doing like ever new things or growing and stuff like that.
I do enjoy money quite a bit. As I say, in this terrible, terrible video game called capitalism, I want to get all of the coins because I want to play on easy mode. But you gotta play on hard mode to, you know, get all the coins. Man, that metaphor fell apart so fast. I thought I could get through at least like 2 to 5 seconds of a good metaphor. But yeah, it's kind of a self-perpetuating machine, because it's like, okay, this task is done. And we're also always creating new projects that overlap on one another. So that's why OmniFocus is essential in terms of like views and stuff. I will say notes, Bear, and drafts are all great for planning checklists, and Bear and drafts specifically, because those also have tags. I have a tag called checklist. Yeah. And then again, I have the technology. it's tagged checklist, and then the area of the building, basically. So checklist and then theater. And so there's different checklists for certain shows, whether it be a comedy show, podcast, presentation, stuff like that. And drafts is nice because you can do it in Markdown and then just send it on its way, or put it in Google Docs. Man, I love drafts. Thanks, Greg. I don't know if you're listening. But thank you, Mr. Pierce.
Question about the checklist real quick is, how do you do one thing that I struggle with sometimes is kind of like 3 items in one part of the checklist, like, because I don't know. I mean, it's sometimes it's, you can be so literal. It's like, I don't want to be like, okay, take out one light stand, now take out the other light stand, versus like set up the lights and do this and this as one part. Like, do you group it that much or just go step by step by step?
That's kind of the, oh God, this is gross. That is the art of checklists, I would say, is making sure every single step in there, while it's critical, is not over-explained or under-explained. Like, it's not like, get out battery 1, get out battery 2, get out battery 3. But the check, like, that item will be get out 3 Canon batteries or something like that. And with that very specific example of like setting up the lights, the checklist isn't set up the lights. It's I actually don't know if this is a checklist we have, but it would be like check that lighting kit is complete. And if you're not, and then underneath it'll be like, here are the things that are in the lighting kit. Does that make sense?
Like under the one. Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on what system you are using and how it displays.
It also depends on like the team you're working with. Because if things become so detailed, people will skip over it. If things aren't detailed enough, people will check it off midway through. If it's like pack camera bag and it's half packed, like people will just check it off. I am totally guilty of this too. Like,
yeah,
it's hard.
So if anyone was watching, I was just trying to find an article that I actually saw something this week that I need to reread, that it was talking about like follow on tasks where you check it off after you're done versus I don't remember the other term for the other way where you check it off before you do it. It's like you check it off, then do it. And often,
why would you even do that?
But I think it's for, it's basically like, there's reasons. It's like, do you need to know this information before you do the thing? Because it, like that, you have like the list of the switches that you actually need to hit versus you just need to do it once it's complete. And the problem is that nobody ever makes that distinction. And so your checklist is a mix of that. And then you're like, wait, I didn't remember to do this before. And like, cause that's my problem. But I guess also real quick, do you use the Apple Watch? Does the OmniFocus let you have the checklist in the Apple Watch version?
Yes. And
okay, that's awesome. Things can do that too.
Yeah. I typically only use that. Like when I say on site, I guess I'm specifically talking about the live shows we do. And then it's just popping up like, let's say something, and this hypothetical always happens. Someone called me over to do something else. And then I've done this thing and I'm like, okay, what even was I doing? And then I just look down at my wrist and it's like, oh, yes, you were replacing all the batteries. Cool. Going back to that. Because I have not done the little bleep loop to say it's complete. And again, that's why I think OmniFocus is really powerful, because you can be taken away from something and then immediately get back into the mode of thinking that you should be in. So I guess
that's awesome.
I guess that is why I think I'm good at not multitasking, quickly switching tasking because of OmniFocus, really.
Yeah. It makes it, it is like everything in my life comes down to like, I haven't made the checklist for it, or just I struggle with making a checklist for something I'm about to do because I just want to do the thing. Mm-hmm. But then it is that inevitable thing of I just get distracted, and it is so many times. It's like the hardest part is because it's just me doing it and there's no one to be like, hey, by the way, the live show is still going. Like, I'm just like in my house and suddenly doing something else, and or it's like a cool idea. And it is, I think that does come down to like capture, like how do you capture your information? I'm assuming drafts, because that's probably the easiest.
Yes. Yeah. I just throw things in drafts. Or there's 3D Touch on the, I have an iPhone 10. So on 3D Touch, you can just open a new inbox item for OmniFocus. And that basically means you put in a task and you don't need to put any tags or put it in a project. It just lives in the inbox until you can put it where it should live later.
Nice. I don't use 3D Touch at all, and I should more. I won't go too far aside, but I don't want the 10S Max anymore because it's too big.
Yeah, thank you.
Flies around, and it's so it makes capture harder is part of the problem.
Yeah.
I do use Drafts Watch app, but sometimes it does lose the dictation, and that is like, I can't do that. Because then it's like, that's the point of dictating it.
Right.
But okay, that's super interesting. So I guess with larger planning stuff, you're like part of it, or does that just kind of come down from above? You're not like actively, you're not in charge of the company, I guess. So
yes, no, unfortunately, I do not own a card game company. It fully, completely depends. We have very strange jobs that fluctuate all the time. And again, I keep coming back to OmniFocus. And I mean, I have, you know, a list of apps, obviously, that I use to get my work done every day, like Logic, Final Cut Pro, 1Password, Fantastical, Calendar 5, Superhuman, which is not Supercomputer, it's an email app, Slack. I put iTunes in here. I don't know why. I guess because I use it. Caffeine Pills.
Do you guys
pills,
talk in Slack
Diet
at
Coke.
The company, or is it email?
Oh, what do you mean?
Like, do you have a Cards Against Humanity Slack that you all use?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how much of the email is internal versus external.
Email. That's the thing. Email is typically every email ends up being its own task, really, because when I get an email, someone is usually asking me to do something or giving me something to do. And that's usually with an external vendor. Another part of my job is bringing people into the studios we have and getting new and interesting people to like create shows in here. And, you know, when I'm collecting W-9s or sending out checklists, like if you want to use the studio, here's the things you need to do. Unfortunately, email's terrible. Email will always be terrible. Like, there's no fixing email, just like there's no fixing most post office issues. But internally, as a company, like most, I don't want to say like most startups because we're not a startup. With most millennial companies, like, we use Slack for pretty much everything, even like sharing documents and stuff like that. But that's all boring. Like, doesn't everybody do that?
Well, I'm just curious. Like, so if you get 50 emails a day, do you look at the email and then switch to your task manager and type up what you need to do? Or like, do you have any of that automated? Does your fancy app do that for you?
No, my fancy app that's still in beta isn't great with sending things to OmniFocus. What I like about it is it treats most things as kind of a Slack message, really. Like, it's just super fast with responding to things. I have an OmniFocus email address. Like, you can email things to OmniFocus and they just pop
that
up as tasks. And when
I don't use that. I should.
It's great. Because, you know, there's this whole thing called Inbox Zero that everybody misunderstands. And I don't think I've ever gotten to Inbox Zero in my life because, like, who the cares? As long as you're doing the things you need to do, I don't need a pretty picture saying, congratulations, you've reached inbox zero.
Yay.
I know, yeah. I do use there's this VIP feature in Superhuman that will push emails from certain people. Like, for example, I typically don't get messages from my boss, nice. But if he has CC'd me on something, then I know that it's either, quote, urgent or it's an important thing that I want to categorize as a task to do right away, if that makes sense. But usually I honestly don't have a dedicated time to do email. It's usually a low energy task of just kind of, you know, filing things like an inbox, like my OmniFocus inbox. I just throw stuff somewhere. And I also have given up on personal email. I haven't checked that inbox in God knows how long. So
that makes sense.
But
do you, I'm just, so
I can't tell if you're bored or fascinated.
No, I am fascinated because I hate doing that. I guess the email into the task manager thing, like, in general, I have a problem of putting things into my inbox and then not really giving it the task name that it needs, like not giving it a verb and not actually sorting it. Mm-hmm. I guess that's probably something that you do at the end of the day or something like that.
Yeah. I typically clean out my OmniFocus inbox at the end of the day, meaning I assign it either a tag or I give it a due date or something like that. Emails typically have a due date because I don't want to be that much of a dick and respond like 14 days later.
I think what I was realizing during all that was how, just like for me, email is, or like clearing out my inbox is not a low energy task. It's something that I feel, at least right now, takes more energy than being like, I am out of calories and hangry now. I'm not going to like go manage my inbox. And it is like dawning on me that my problem in many ways is my approach to those things. Or like, even by recognizing that something is higher energy that shouldn't be, is like, okay, why? And like, what approach am I taking to that is creating this situation where it feels like impossible for me to open my email inbox and respond to them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for me, I guess me personally, it's like, that's not where my job occurs. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't feel necessary. And so it has become like a thing that I'm like, oh, now I have to check my email. And maybe that's because I don't have a super exclusive fancy app.
Yes. All of your problems are going to be solved when the superhuman app comes out. Oh, and I should say, I use multiple email apps. They switch often. Rosemary Orchard, wonderful, genius human being, has, you know, great steps for how to use things with airmail and on her show automations or automators with David Sparks, like talking about how to automate things, even just with the stock mail app or mail.app in iOS. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of things going on there.
Well, that Newton just came out again, and I think I went through the splash screens and all of the features it pitched, I was like, I don't need that, or I don't want this. Mm-hmm. It's obviously a necessary evil in many places, but if you can avoid it, it's like, I'm just trying to not build that into my life, where it is like somebody was asking, how do we send you guys something? And I was saying, or like, we do have an email address, but I was like, oh God, if we start getting a bunch of emails, that's like, clearly don't find that to be a task that I, or just like the system that way doesn't just has that all the like negative connotation to it.
Right.
And I think I do want to, or by like writing down a checklist of like, okay, I need to open my inbox and sort into these, or like, these are the tags, the folders that I use in my mail system. Mm-hmm. I think for me, that has been helping a lot more. Cause then I,
you use folders in email?
No, I was thinking of the mail app because it just only allows folders. I don't use any organization system in email besides get unsubscribe from everything. Ooh, also, is it Stoop? Is a new app that I've been trying that is designed specifically just for email newsletters, because like I actually want to read my newsletters and not read like the spam from some company that, it does kill me that when you sign up for an app, they start emailing you all the time. It's like, I didn't make this agreement, and I understand why. I'm like, I am a marketer from trade in the past. And so it's like, I have a new email newsletter that I'm doing now, but it's that you actually chose to sign up for that, not just to like use some app because they needed a profile to sell it to people.
I have a bone to pick with you in terms of your newsletter, which I very much like. Sure. But signing up for it, you give your email address, and then there's two boxes you need to check. And I didn't want to check either box.
Well, okay, also, I wrote it. That's a good point. I'm going to write this down so I do it as my task and don't forget about it. And I need to make checklists for my whole, that system. But it's, will be a quick one, but like, first of all, I have to do that. I have to say, can you give me your email? But like, that's the sign up form. So that somebody was like, what? You can't. I said it's optional, the advertising part. But I also was like, I don't have any plans to do advertising, but it feels more weird. Like, I was like, if you want to, maybe I would. I don't know. Like, I am not a brand that is going to like sell this or something. If there was some sort of like supercomputer merch, and we sold ads to those people, like if they opted in, now I have their permission. But the way it's designed is terrible. So
I remember.
And it's like you have to have your actual address, and then
yep.
Yeah. I had my old address on accident before because I have to like now get a PO box, or otherwise you guys can all see where I live.
That's the best part about not working from home, is that no one knows where I live. I love that. That's my life hack. Never let anyone know who you are, and never give out your email address to anyone ever. That's how I get things done.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of how I'm making my newsletter is like I'm learning as I'm going, because I was waiting until I made it perfect before I started sending it, and that didn't make sense. And so instead I built it into how I'm doing it is I've sent two emails. Like all I'm trying to do is send emails to people, and there's all this like if I use all this thing and get it is like I just don't know what I'm doing. And so I want to like share with other people how to do this too, because it is hard to set up and understand. Like, would advertising ever make sense is something that like that's a high energy task to figure out.
Boy.
And I clearly deprioritized it and accidentally left it in the sign up form too. So
I mean, speaking of advertising, to round this out, do you want to talk about a new thing that we did but we're not really talking about and we're experimenting with?
We did actually set up the Patreon that we were talking about last week. So if people are interested, we're beginning to figure that whole thing out too. And I think, did we already make mistakes? I think I did something wrong.
I mean, I'm sure we've made mistakes. I don't remember what they were. But that was one of those things where we definitely didn't make a checklist before starting it. We probably should have.
That's fair.
But no. I'm very excited about doing strange projects because that's like what this show is about. And if you're listening to this now, you've missed us live streaming and brainstorming ideas for season two, sort of starting episode 21, because I want to do more weird experiments and more, not just teaching people how to use their technology and having it really be accessible, but like I was just thinking when you were talking about the mail stuff, like couldn't you do a shortcut where it's like pull in all of the, like people could DM you their email and then like you could pull all of them in, or like if there was a Google Sheet.
Email is tricky. In general, shortcuts is tricky because some stuff isn't possible that should be, and or it's like just now changing, like as we record, they just added some new notes actions, but it's not available to everyone, so it's like how do we share all this?
Right.
I think I want to spend more time figuring out how people can use, like building shortcuts specifically for people with supercomputer, the audience, and also doing live streams where we have people come in and help us, or I don't know about necessarily helping us, but you can sort of see how we're planning maybe the show or some of the other stuff that we're doing. And
I mean, you could help me. I need help with so many things.
But that's what I do. Just want to work in public a little bit. And because that's where you can grasp some of what is so complex about using shortcuts or some of the things that just happen in daily life around using iOS, or I'm getting more back into the Mac too, although
took
us 30 minutes to start recording this episode because we both had to restart our computers.
Laptops are so bad. They're so bad. I hate laptops.
I'm interested in connecting more with people too directly over the supercomputer universe that we're creating, and I want to help people with their own shortcuts, and we're doing home screen smackdowns also. So
That thing I used to do for free, and then it really stressed me out. I was like, wait, give me your human dollars, give me your video game dollars so I can feed my cats, please.
And I want to, for season two, I personally, like I said at the beginning of this one, I'm going to interrupt you less. I want to focus more on topics so that it's easier to wrap your head around some of the shows and have them stand a little bit more in time so you can learn about how we approach checklists or something like that. And maybe do some guest stuff. So that should be interesting too. Or actually have guests on live streams. There's a whole lot to explore. And now I know that you know how to do all this because that's what you do for your job.
Yeah, so that I do.
It will help me make the checklist, because using knowledge that already exists instead of recreating it over and over again is sort of the theme of that.
Jobby jobs are useful for things other than keeping yourself alive with healthcare and feeding your cats. Turns out. another life hack.
And working independent, definitely you lose perspective on some of that, because I miss some of like, oh, I can just talk to one other person without feeling like I have to like monetize it or something too. So
I mean, yay monetization. I mean, we're basically the gig economy of podcasts. Like, do this, give us money. Matthew, where can people find you online for free?
They can find all of my YouTube videos on youtube.com/MatthewCastinelli, and I am linking out to more Shortcuts posts on my blog, but the newsletter is the way to find it all collected to your inbox each week, and that's MatthewCastinelli.com/newsletter, and you do not have to sign up for the GDPR advertising if you do not want to. What about you?
You can find me at the Supercomputer Instagram, and that is @_supercomputer, which we're going to do some more fun stuff with that. And me on Instagram at Alex Cox, spelled COX, not the other way. And I, like, normally I didn't care about followers until recently, because now there's that little swipe up dingus where you can link to stuff. Follow me on Instagram. Yeah. I want to link to dumb stuff. Like, just like, here's a gif of my cat. I don't know. I want the power.
And so that we can get this shortcut going, make sure to subscribe to... Oh my God, I just realized you have to search Supercomputer because it's a random string of characters now. But we'll link it in the show notes too.
What a dumb... It's like a giant corporation doesn't have our interests at heart. They don't care about...
We're just uploading hours and hours of footage for free.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. And this has been another episode of Supercomputer.
See you later, nerds.
That was fun. Jeez. Well, do you want to see a magic trick?
Sure.
Okay. Oh boy.
Oh my gosh! You dropped all of the cards.
Hold on. It doesn't matter. I only need 5 cards to do this trick. Okay. Okay. It's gonna be fine. All right. I'm gonna take 5 cards from the top. I'm gonna take 5 cards from the top of the deck. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'm going to send you a picture right now. See, that's why you don't even need to...
We'll put it in the show art, too, so people who are listening along can see.
Oh, well, and yeah, I'm going to put the... Let's put this in the show notes, and then I'm going to put my crotch less in this picture then. and you can see the mess I made. All right, sending this to Matthew... And I just want you, don't tell me what card you are picking. Just pick a card and hold it in your head.
Oh, it's sideways.
Okay, you picked a card.
I have your cards and I am picking one of them in my head.
Okay. Was this your card?
No.
Was this your card?
No.
Was it still not your card? Okay. Hold on. Was this your card?
Oh, yes.
Fuck me. Well, and see, that's why some people tune into the video show.
Yeah, there's nothing. That was a high quality video that you just missed.
I mean... I can do a fun little, if you want to see me flick around cards and like, woo, that's fun.
I don't even know what's going on there, but.
Yeah. Oh, you don't know how that happened? My magic? It's an illusion. Oh, boy.
I'm just glad I didn't get hacked.
Got hacked.